The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, a new report released today has highlighted concerns over Ireland's aviation industry. Drawing on insight from some of the biggest names in the industry here and globally, the report warns that policy inertia could undermine Ireland's role as a key hub in global aviation. Joining me for more on this is the co-author of the report, former Director General of Eurocontrol, Eamon Brennan. Eamon, good morning and welcome.
Thank you, Pat.
Now, at the very beginning, there's an overview of Ireland's place in aviation, and it is a significant place.
It really is, Pat. What's important to realise about aviation in Ireland is that it's central to the economy. It's central to our success in foreign direct investment. It's central to our success in agriculture. It's central to our success in virtually every area of the economy. I mean, a real interesting micro statistic would be we have 37 flights per day to the United States. Scotland have one. Wales don't have any. So it shows that the linkages that we have with the Googles and Barrow Street and
that decision about pre-clearance is obviously very important.
It's very important. But the fact that we've got such a good connectivity drives the economy. So it's important that aviation is not forgotten as an economic driver now, because that's really what it is.
And we're big flyers. Looking at the graph you have on page 9 of your report, looking at the per capita travel, Ireland is there at 4.2. We are top of the list. Greece is second at 3.5. France is down at the bottom at 1.4. But, we are an island nation. Therefore, you'd expect us. We have to fly to get off.
You would expect that. But Irish people do have a higher propensity to fly. There's no doubt about that. But the reason that we're flying is because of the fact that we're doing business internationally. We're a small, open economy and having a really good, vibrant aviation sector. It's important for jobs now, but it's also important for the future of our children's jobs.
Now, looking at the other elements, Ryanair, of course, being an Irish airline, that's hugely significant. It's one of the biggest airlines in the world. We have a maintenance, repair and overhaul ecosystem in Ireland, which is another element. We have the big leasing companies are all based here. And when you look at those elements, it makes us quite a significant player.
Yeah, one significant feature of this report, Pat, is that it's an all-island report. So we capture the manufacturing sector up in Northern Ireland, which is great. But in the south, we have the world's largest leasing community, which everybody knows about it, and we've recommendations concerning that. But interestingly enough, we don't have an MRO, an engine overhaul facility in Ireland, and we're looking for that to be one of the key things. There's up to 1,000 high-paid jobs that will sustain for 15 to 20 years.
And yet we had one. Lufthansa Aeromotive.
Yeah, Aeromotive was the last one that we had. We've lost the facility. So you have a situation where Irish Airlines now are exporting engines for repairs to Malta, to Jordan, some of them even to India. And there's a huge demand all over Europe. So it's a really niche thing that we're asking for the IDA to help us here to put this facility in Ireland and capture these jobs before they go elsewhere.
Now, you have a number of key policy recommendations. And the headline I gave, which is, I think, one offered by Professor Gill, your co-author, was that there is aviation policy inertia.
Yeah,
In other words, all of this kind of happened by accident. You had Tony Ryan and leasing starting down in Shannon, and then you had a burgeoning leasing industry. A lot of the people had experience with Tony Ryan in the early days, as indeed did Michael O'Leary. But it wasn't anything really to do with government that made all of that happen.
Well, no, but I think the European single sky and the open sky framework did help a lot for airlines like Ryanair and Aer Lingus and Open Sky. So I think that, it's not fully right to say that. But I think Joe is right in this in saying that, at the moment there's a feeling that aviation has just been taken for granted. And it's just like something that we have. But it doesn't go away. 20 years ago, we had high unemployment in Ireland. We didn't have all this FDI, and you quickly forget how you can revert back to that. So we believe that there's a need to look at aviation, but look at it to develop it as a leader in also sustainable aviation to make sure that we actually can make it happen, because we live on an island and we've got to be realistic.
Now, you say this is an all-island document, and looking at the headline, it says we have 10 commercial airports. I was thinking, what are they? I mean, we're familiar with, obviously, Belfast has two.
Yeah.
We have Ireland West, we have Shannon, we have Cork, we have Dublin.
Waterford and Kerry and all of this. Yeah. I mean, we have a lot of airports, Pat, and I mean, regionalisation is important. But the reality is that in Ireland, Dublin remains the largest hub and it is the main point of access. But there's great opportunity for Shannon. We've asked Shannon to look at the MRO and we've also maintenance and repair, but we've also looked at pilot training. There's a huge opportunity to quadruple the amount of pilots trained in Ireland. Just to give you an example, you know, we're recommending that pilots training be increased from 100 per year to 400. Irish Airlines can take all those 400. It's not overseas we need to go
all
anymore.
All of those?
All of those can be taken by Irish Airlines in a year. And the reality is that's what will happen if the supply is there. But we need to put the infrastructure in place, particularly in Waterford, in Sligo. So there's huge opportunity. And indeed in Derry.
Now, it could be that in a few years' time, if we have a fighter squadron with the Air Corps or the Air Force, as it probably will become, that they'll be based in Shannon, not in Baldonnell.
Yeah, well, I mean, that might make sense. I mean, you're closer to the West Coast. I remember when I was in the CEO of the IAA, you know, we had regular updates about Russians flying up and down and we had no way of monitoring them. So that's a development that I imagine the government will put in place.
Was that a problem you had in Eurocontrol as well? Because you were the supremo of overflights in Europe.
Yeah, I mean, military flights, you know, you generally don't see them. They don't put their transponders on. That's the reason they're military flights. So you have to manage them, but they're managed in a systematic way. I would say that the...
I mean, you
NATO,
see them with your
yes.
sophisticated radar.
Yeah, you would see them with primary radar, yes.
Even though they're not telling you.
Yeah, no, you would. But the reality is that, you know, we facilitate military operations in Europe and that's what you've actually got to do. But when you're dealing with, say, Russia, they don't actually tell you. They just show up and they can disrupt commercial traffic.
Do they not obey the rules in terms of...
No, they do, but, you know, in international airspace, they have the right to fly, and that's the reality. And they exercise that right, whereas others in international airspace tell us that they're there and they use their transponders. They don't.
But are there kind of rules, if you like, protocols for flying, that certain corridors are dedicated to commercial
yes,
flight?
Yes, there are. Yeah,
Russians tend to obey those?
No, they do. They do. In general, they would know it's a commercial zone. But the reality is in international airspace, you can more or less do what you like.
Okay, that's the reality.
That's off, particularly oceanic, off Ireland.
Yeah, so if they decide to misbehave, they can.
Yes.
Now, you talk about Dublin and developing Dublin as a strategic asset. I mean, it must be frustrating to see things like the passenger cap based on a very old statistic, really, about traffic management around Dublin Airport and how that has stalled. Now, happily, it looks like it's going to be resolved.
Well,
but not before a lot of legal argument.
Yeah, but it's been resolved by the courts. One of the things that depressed me most about, we talked to 33 leaders doing this, but one of the things that depressed both of us the most was the fact that the policy inertia that Joe described about dealing with the cap in Dublin. Everybody knows it's a problem. And when we talk to Americans particularly, they just don't understand how this happens. They don't understand why Ireland is closed for business, why we're talking about capping flights when everybody else is looking for business. So to me, it's very much a national embarrassment, the fact that the system has not coped with the cap.
But is it down to the parish pump that people are conscious of noise and a multiplication of flight movements will mean more noise, possibly more disruption? So they don't take, if you like, the economic view of the island of Ireland into account. They think, I'm sitting in my back garden and I have no peace.
No, but that's true to an extent, Pat. But the reality is that since 1990, you know, noise levels of modern aircraft have reduced by nearly 50%. You have new engines, new airframes. Also, you have new flight paths. The second runway in Dublin Airport, which is there in existence, gives a huge opportunity for noise abatement to fly different routes. So it is less noisy. I mean, to me, the M50, if you stand at the toll road, it is way more noisy on a constant basis. And there's an international approach for dealing with noise. And we've advocated in the report that Ireland starts looking more at the international approach, using what they call the balanced approach to noise abatement, and regulate the airport in a proper way and move more towards onboard planola strategic infrastructure. Because what Americans and international people don't understand is how a local council has such power over a major national asset to stop American flights coming in.
We're not unique. I think, wasn't there a case recently where Ryanair had to, they had a flight arriving in Berlin or something, and at midnight the airport shut down. They had to
That's common. I mean, when I was in Eurocontrol, you know, we would have dealt with maybe 700 or 800 airports. The reality is that a passenger cap is unheard of. Movement caps are more common, and what they are is basically the airport closes at a time. And let's be clear, Dublin does have, you know, restrictions at night. And it's important that
you'll get a holiday flight coming back in at
2:30
in the morning
yeah.
And you'll have a flight going at 5:30 in the morning.
That's true, Pat, but it's not major. I mean, the big thing that's needed in Dublin Airport is that you can cater for the inbound American flights first thing in the morning and the departure flights to Europe. We're located at the edge of Europe, and it's really important that we have access to Europe and get out fast and get into Europe in the morning for business and for jobs and for FDI, and the same with the Americans. So that's important that that happens. So restricting Dublin Airport, it's really a false cap, and it's something I believe that the government should get on with now, because the reality is it was in the programme for government. So I'm not sure what more consultation or what more advice from the Attorney General that they need. It's a time to just actually do it, I believe.
But is there a case for taking all of this kind of planning out of the remit of the councils?
Yes.
They should have no say in it. These are strategic assets.
Yes.
And they should be governed by some body that deals with that.
Yeah, but one thing that the aviation leaders all had is they felt that the planning system is too slow. And by being too slow, it means that it adds cost. And they weren't looking for extra decisions or changes. They're just looking for the process to be speeded up. So we recommended that the planning of major aviation infrastructure go back to Bord Pleanála, but that they halve the timescales that they take to consider it. And we're not asking for anything special, but
is
it just
it
happens
fair?
Faster.
We're looking to on Bord Pleanála to handle offshore wind. We're looking at them to handle Mrs. O'Brien's extension in their back garden. We're looking at them to handle the transfer of maybe a hotel into an asylum seeker centre. They're too much to do, really. And there are certain things, like I know Irish Water have written to the government saying we need changes. We need strategic changes for our development. If you want your houses, if you want your factories, we've got to have quicker decisions and we've got to have more streamlined decision-making. That applies to the airports too.
It does. I mean, I couldn't disagree with anything you say there, Pat. The reality is that all we're asking for is that it happen faster. It takes too long.
You don't really care who makes the decision,
But Bord Pleanála is the logical thing. The legislation is there for it to do. So what we're looking for basically is that the planning go to Bord Pleanála to be dealt with in half the time, and that the noise abatement go back to the Irish Aviation Authority, the technical experts, to deal with that, like it is virtually everywhere else in Europe, so that you streamline that what happens. All we're asking is for things to happen faster.
Now, talk to me about one of your recommendations, strengthen aircraft leasing foundations. What needs to be done? Because we're already very successful.
No, we have an amazing network of treaties, tax treaties, and that make it attractive to lease in Ireland. But there is a few areas where we need it strengthened. There's a number of countries that we don't have access to. What's happening is the market's now becoming more competitive. Singapore are getting into leasing. India, believe it or not, are getting into leasing. Southeast Asia and Americans. So we don't have the absolute dominance we had years ago. So what we're looking for basically is a renewal of tax treaties. But we're also looking to set up a certified asset digital register to bring the whole area of aircraft transfers into the digital age. Because at the moment, it's boxes and boxes of paper. You wouldn't believe it in reality. Whereas we want to bring it into a more like a digital foundation.
And is that to do with the certification of the aircraft?
Yes.
That every bit of it has got to be certified?
Yeah, every single bit of it has to be certified. The flight times, the engine hours, all of the airworthiness requirements. And we want to bring this down to a digital platform that could be hosted in Ireland and would give us a shot in the arms. We think that the government can help us here as well. We went for 5 recommendations, Pat, to make it easy. You know, the All-Ireland one, I think it's important to talk about, because we're looking for the abolition of APD, passenger tax, out of Belfast as well, to make it more competitive and to make it actually bring it in line.
Is that
with
within their gift up there, or does it have to go to Westminster?
It will have to go to Westminster. But in reality, you know, it's something we believe they should lobby for. And secondly, then, you know, the other 4 recommendations relate to things the government can do about the Dublin cap, pilot training, MROs and leasing. And we have a host of other smaller recommendations to consider about regional airports as well. But in essence, Pat, it's to emphasise the importance of aviation to Ireland. And we think that it's time that this be given a kind of a hearing.
Now, you actually went to big international players to feed into this. And what did those international players have to say about Ireland?
So what they said, I mean, one of the things that they are is they're all very keen on Ireland, very positive. Here we are, an English-speaking country on the edge of Europe in the European Union. So huge future opportunities for business. But they all emphasise connectivity is the key. This idea that, you know, that you have less aviation, it doesn't make any sense when you're in an island. If you're in Germany, for instance, Pat, you know, you have options to drive, you have options to train. We don't have those options. So what we have to do is develop aviation, but in a sustainable way. And here, for instance, Irish fleets are the newest in Europe. We're using the most modern aircraft, but we're also involved in getting to net zero with IATA by 2050. And we're using sustainable aviation fuels. There's a lot of initiatives there designed to move the aviation industry to a net zero position, but it's going to take a bit of time, but we're doing it. So we're asking the government to help us in this process and to make sure that it actually happens, but while growing aviation at the same time.
Now, it doesn't exist in a vacuum. Obviously, in order to fly, you got to get to an airport. So connectivity and the road system is important as well. I mean, if people find it's easier to, for example, drive from Clonmel to Cork for a flight rather than traipse all the way to Dublin, we should make it easy for them to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, we're not coming down on the side of any airport in this report. What we're saying is that the consumer decides if the flights are out of Shannon, then let's go for them there if it makes more sense. And there's great road systems in Shannon. Shannon's an excellent airport. You know, Kerry's a good airport, but we have a number of airports. And the reality is the consumer should go where it suits them. But, you know, we're blessed in Ireland at having, you know, a number of very good airlines that provide a service. You have great connectivity and the trick is to keep it.
I'm wondering whether there's a scope for another airport in the Dublin area, not just another terminal, but another airport.
Well, I don't think so, Pat. Like,
I remember the late Tony Ryan suggested to me on it. Yeah, he wanted to become effectively a charter airport.
Yeah. I mean, I think that in Dublin Airport at the moment, let's just look at the facts. They have a second runway there at the moment. So, you know, that really, it doesn't double their capacity, but it adds an extra 70% capacity. So there's a number of issues have to be sorted out on the ground with maybe new stands and new parking stands like this, and it will make it cost effective. So I don't think there's any need for a new airport. And I think that the road infrastructure supports the airport. But we would be very supportive of the metro system, you know, linking up with the airport or the DART. These things are all over Europe and we're a little bit negligent in Ireland not having done that. So what we're asking people to do is to basically realise that the importance that aviation is to Ireland. And the more important thing is how it is to Irish industry. We talk to industry leaders as well in pharmaceuticals and all over, and they emphasise this time and time again that it needs to happen. But there is a feeling, as in your opening remark, Pat, of policy inertia. And there is this general feeling that, you know, it's a big embarrassment that something as simple as the cap at Dublin Airport just can't be sorted out, that the system simply doesn't seem to be able to wrestle with
the problem. I remember, I mean, people like Michael O'Leary telling the former Minister for Transport, Eamon Ryan, to get the finger out, just do it. And they didn't just do it. They kept on making excuses.
Yeah.
So has the climate changed?
Well, I hope with the new minister it has. I mean, I worked in the system in the government system for a number of years. And like, I know how this works. You know, if you don't want to do something, you basically...
You'll find ways not to do
it. You'll ask the Attorney General for an opinion and then you set up a working group and then you say you'll incorporate it into a plan.
Yes,
and
Minister.
And I'm seeing all this happening now. And I'm just hoping that they'll cut through it and that this report will provide a catalyst for them to actually act.
Finally, Eamon, can people access this report online?
Yeah, you can get this report online on the Irelandia website. So you can just get it easy. Just www.irelandia. And you can have it online. It's a PDF copy. And we really appreciate any support. And we hope it generates some good public debate.
Eamon Brennan, former Director General of Eurocontrol, co-author of this report. Eamon, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.